I remember my first day out, I started running, and being an ex-athlete, emphasis on the ex, I was running around, and I got a little ways, and I started walking, and I basically walked back home. And then the next day, I thought I would try it again. I started running, and I said, I'm going to run. I'm not going to walk. I'm going to run. I'm going to make it. And as I began to get into that area of discomfort and I began to look for people that I knew in the cars. I thought as the cars passed me, I could see a different face and I would say, oh, that's Harry, that's great. And I would run on and it would kind of keep me going. Real runners don't do that. Have you noticed? Real runners don't do that. Real runners just pound the pavement looking straight ahead. Well, it got to the point as I began to identify people in cars, I would not only wave to them, they would wave back and smile. See, I was trying to get them to stop and give me a ride home. You know what I'm saying? Come on, stop your car, let me in. Because I wasn't too healthy. It's amazing what we do to try to stay in physical shape, to try to avoid heart attacks. We want to be healthy. We try to exercise regularly. Try to watch what we eat. Well, do you know what? You can avoid spiritual heart attacks as well as physical heart attacks. That's what I'd like to talk about this morning out of James chapter 1. And that is avoiding spiritual heart attacks. Attacks of the heart. Matthew 22 tells us the most important duty of man is to love God with his whole heart. To love God with his whole heart. Now, I don't question your love for God, but this morning I would like you to scrutinize your heart. How healthy is your spiritual heart? Let's look to the scriptures, starting in James chapter 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, temptation in and of itself is not a sin. And many times temptation looks appealing to us in our flesh, but it's actually a disguised attack upon our spiritual heart. And within this passage, especially verse 15, we find two battlefields on which we can do war with sin, with attacks upon our hearts. And I would like to take a few minutes and camp on those. And the first area that we can battle sin is in the protection of one's mind. You have to protect what goes into your body. You have to watch and monitor what goes into your body if you're going to avoid heart attacks. Physically speaking, we also have to protect what goes into our heart if we're going to watch ourselves when it comes to spiritual attacks. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. How do you do that? Now, I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and in Phoenix, we got about 12 inches of rain a year. Typically, we got it all in a couple weeks, and we're not geared for rain in Phoenix. I don't think you're geared for rain here either, but the streets would flood. The streets would just flood. And as boys, we would immediately get on our bicycles and begin riding through the streets with the water up to our axles. We just thought that was the greatest. We'd ride around. One year, there was a new boy who came to the neighborhood, and we thought we'd play a little trick on him. So we got this little guy out, and we said, hey, come on, ride bikes with us in the rain. It'll be a lot of fun. We started riding bikes through these deep puddles of water, and we knew one spot that had a sewer drain that had a grate that was a little wider than it should have been for bicycle tires. And so we took our friend and we decided that we would baptize him in our neighborhood. And we took him, and as we were riding along on our bikes, we kind of got him in position, and he didn't know it, and we got our bikes outside of his, and he, next thing he knew, his front tire was in that drain, and he was launched out into the water. But the reason they put those drains there was to protect the sewer from taking in debris that would do damage once it got into the pipes. Now, some of you are already with me, and you know that I'm going to compare your mind or your spiritual heart to a sewer. I'm sorry, but that's the way the analogy goes this morning. You develop a grid over a water system to protect it from debris, so also God has given you a system to protect your mind from things that would go in and do damage to your spirit. He's given you the Word of God to protect your mind. Now, immediately, you might be thinking, you know what, this guy's trying to tell me how not to sin. Hey, I've been trying not to sin for years. It don't work. That dog won't hunt. I try not to sin and I sin. I know, apart from the sovereign work of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit as He oversees our lives, it's impossible for us not to sin. But does that mean we go on sinning that grace may abound? No, Paul says in Romans 6, no. We at least aim in the right direction, don't we? If we want to hit the target, don't we draw the bow and aim it in that direction? You know, the definition of the word sin is to miss the mark. It's an archery term. You aim your bow, and if you miss the mark, somebody would yell, "Hey, you sinned!" You missed the mark. So what I would like to do this morning is at least point you in the right direction and say, yes, it's true. It's impossible for us as depraved people to live a life that's totally holy. But God still commands us and says, be holy as I am holy. He says that in 1 Peter, doesn't he? So that's our challenge. How do we do this? Let me give you a couple steps. First of all, I believe we have to monitor our thoughts. So many times, we do not monitor our thoughts. We just let our day happen to us. Have you ever been around somebody who's just kind of edgy and a little upset? And usually if you're a good friend of theirs, you'll get up enough nerve and say, "Hey, excuse me, but what's your problem?" And they'll go, "Oh, I'm sorry. Can you tell? Have you noticed?" "Yes, I've noticed." See, they're not even in touch with who they are and what they're doing. They're just walking their way through life, stumbling along. You know, we fall into that spiritually. We just kind of get up and let the day happen to us. We just walk along and allow different things to go in and out of our minds without even monitoring this, just letting it happen. So first of all, if we're going to control what we are receiving spiritually, we've got to monitor our thoughts. You've got to have the mental discipline to monitor your thoughts. And then what do you do with this? What do you do with this? You take these thoughts and you bring them underneath God's Word. And you say, does this thought align itself with God's Word, God's will for my life? And if it doesn't, you reject it. You see, you have this grid over your mind, the sewer, if you will, and as these thoughts come, they clang against the grid. And you identify that thought, and you say, that does not measure up against the Word of God. I should reject that thought. But many times, we not only identify this thought that is against God and will lead us to sin, we embrace it. Many of us in Christ have literally lifted the grid of protection from our minds and said, let the world pour in. I would challenge you this morning. Challenge you this morning to identify your thoughts and bring them underneath the lordship, the leadership of the Word of God. How else can we live? And you know what's interesting? You see a new Christian, and if you could picture in your mind the grid of a new Christian, you might see this big pipe, and then you could see maybe a couple grids across it, maybe the cross of Christ that's protecting this mind. And as the world would assault this new Christian's mind, they would identify in themselves, and they say, well, I'm a new Christian, I'm supposed to be like Jesus. I guess I won't murder. I won't steal. I won't. And they kind of have the basics. But as you grow in Christ, and as you continue to hide God's word in your heart, your grid is much more dense, and it catches many things. And Satan has to use more subtle tactics to get you off track. But I would challenge you, I would encourage you this morning to have a regular time of spending quality minutes with God every day. Every day. To make your grid more dense. To allow God's word to permeate your mind. It's my prayer that your thoughts would be so intermingled with the mind of God, you would not be able to discern the difference. His thoughts are your thoughts, and your thoughts are His thoughts. Wouldn't that be rich? And you know, this is something that we don't do in a sporadic way. You know, in exercise, you'll weigh yourself when you go to the doctor each year for your checkup, and you go, oh, I'm a little heavy, maybe I need to exercise. Or my heart rate isn't proper, I need to exercise. And it's not just a spasmodic walk around the block once a month. You need to get into a regular routine. So also in your relationship with God, you don't just have a spasmodic knee-jerk spiritual reaction at Christmas and Easter and say, oh, if I were closer to God. It's a daily regimented routine of walking with God, of spending time in His Word, of praying, of memorization, of action. You see, to have a healthy body, you watch what you eat and you exercise. How different is that from a healthy Christian who watches what enters their spirit, and then they act accordingly. They act accordingly. You know, some of us have grown bored with the Word of God. Shame on us. Shame on us. That we would think we know the Word of God so well, we need not study. We need not scrutinize the Scriptures daily. To think that we would think we don't need God's Word in a fresh way today. I ask you to repent of that. You see, a walk with Christ is not just an intellectual acquiescing. It touches the soul. Touches the spirit of man. The psalmist cries out, praise the Lord, O my soul. It's His essence. Is your walk with Christ your essence today? Is it what you're about? The Word of God should be growing within you, producing discernment and strength. Hide His Word in your heart. So the first step in avoiding heart attacks is protecting your heart. Protecting your heart. The second step is to purify your heart. To purify your heart. It says, then when lust has conceived, once we join our will with this evil thought, lust has conceived and it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. So what do when we sin? And we're stymied. And our spiritual arteries, if you will, are beginning to clog. So that the fresh blood, the fresh understanding of God's Spirit and His work in us is being hindered. What do we do? Well, we think of 1 John 1:9, don't we? We're encouraged when we see, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, we purify our minds through confession. We protect our minds, and then when we do sin, we purify our minds through confession. Now, what is confession? Confession isn't just listing your sins for God. He already knows them. Confession is agreeing with God that you're wrong in these sins. agreeing with God that you're wrong. So the Holy Spirit can work in you. If you're having trouble identifying sins in your life this morning, just as I continue to preach, just close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, I feel so holy here today. Could you take a moment and share a sin or two you might see in my life? He'll do that. But you know something I've noticed, and it angers me. I can't use any other word other than angers. Angers is pointed at myself as well as other brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is when we are about to sin and this thought clanks against the grid of our spiritual mind and we say, I'm going to sin anyway because God will forgive me. Oh, I know 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sin, he'll... You know the verse? And so because we think God will forgive us, we'll go ahead and sin. Well, I know it's wrong, but he'll forgive me, so I'll do it anyway. You know how foolish that is? That's like saying, you know, I have a friend who's an excellent plastic surgeon, so go ahead and hit me in the face with that baseball bat. He can put me back together. Isn't it ludicrous? But that's how we think. That's how I think many times. That's how we think, isn't it? Oh, God will forgive us. He will forgive you. It's beautiful. He will forgive you. But he will not remove the consequences of your sin. Think of the life of David and his sins and the forgiveness he received and the consequences he incurred. You will incur consequences. There was a story going around Knoxville about 3 years ago about a man who, upon leaving his house, bumped his cheek on a door. He didn't think anything of it, just I was a little clumsy and bumped my cheek on the door. And he went on. After a couple weeks, it didn't go away. And he kept waiting for it to go away. It wouldn't go away. He thought, well, surely it'll go away. He waited longer. Eventually, he went to the doctor. The doctor said, you know, I don't think that's a bruise at all. I'm going to have to lance that. Oh, kind of scared the guy. What do you mean, lance it? I just bumped my cheek on the door. The doctor had other suspicions. He noticed a little spot on that cheek, and he thought it might be something a little unusual. And so he lanced this bump, and lo and behold, it was a nest of spider eggs. This man had bumped his face, and it opened, and somehow, some way, a spider had implanted its eggs in his cheek. It grew over, and it festered there. Could you imagine? Yeah, you can imagine having spiders in your face. My wife doesn't even like them, you know, in the kitchen, much less on her, in the face. But you know, when we embrace sin and we allow it to sit within our spirits, we're allowing these eggs to fester and to grow. And one day to be lanced and to be opened and all of our sins to be spread out on those who are closest to us. I want to challenge you this morning. Confess your sin. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man reaps, he will sow. Another problem we have with sin is that we assume it's normal. We assume it's normal. Everyone sins, so I sin too. It's true. God's word says, all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But that doesn't mean we embrace it. That doesn't mean we feel comfortable with it, does it? Don't you remember your children when they would say to you, well, Billy did this. Well, Billy said I could. Well, if Billy said to jump in a lake, would you? You know the old routine. And yet, we take the very same argument with our Father in heaven. Oh, so-and-so does this. Oh, so-and-so does that. Oh, nobody's holy anymore. Nobody truly seeks God anymore. What was the answer your parent gave you? Hopefully, it'll be similar to the answer God is giving you right now. Be holy because I'm holy. And Augustine is quoted as saying, God, tell me what you want me to do, but then remember, you'll have to do it. It's kind of a little spiritual trick, isn't it? That God would demand holiness of us, knowing that it's impossible for us unless we yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I encourage you this morning to take account of your heart and to see how healthy your heart is. In closing, let me ask you a few questions. You answer them quietly within your spirit. This blockage of sin could cause something that I like to call a spiritual sclerosis, much like arterial sclerosis. And in arterial sclerosis, people notice a loss of hearing. Let me ask you, spiritually speaking, do you hear well? You have sat under the rather simple teaching of God's Word this morning. What have you learned? And what will you take away as your own? Have you just heard the noise and not heard the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit? Another thing that happens to people who have sclerosis is that an inability to respond quickly. Let me ask you, in your walk with Christ, do you ever understand what you should do, but you do not respond? Do not allow spiritual sclerosis to take over your life. A lack of balance is also common with people who have arterial sclerosis. Let me ask you, is your life in balance? Do you run your schedule or does your schedule run you? Are we being numbed by the effects of sin? Do you cry when you should cry? Do you give yourself when the Spirit of God prompts you? Do you sense His tender presence during times of need? So we've located two areas in which we can avoid heart attacks, haven't we? We battle through our minds and allowing God's Word to be the supreme ruler of our minds. And then we take time to confess. Do you know there's a battle going on for your soul right now? Yes, even the Christian, there's a battle going on for your soul right now. As you've struggled to listen, who's won? Who's won? I pray the Spirit of God. You see, it's impossible for us to please God save the work of Jesus Christ. What a Savior. Many of you this morning have been measuring yourself against the commandments. You've been measuring yourself against this chapter in James. And you're discouraged. May I lift you up and point you to a Savior, Jesus Christ? His work makes you presentable before God. Now, right now, and upon the day you see Him face to face. Take refuge in that. Hallelujah. What a Savior. The work of Christ is not just an event that took place thousands of years ago. It's personal. It's for you. Rejoice. Hallelujah. What a Savior. The work of Christ in you, for you. Praise God.